very wrong. Reynier had been a dance instructor for years. Hell's fire, he'd been Janelle's dance instructor. A young warlord prince who had been able to hold his own with Janelle and the coven of young queens who had been her closest friends. Now Reynier worked for him, and he paid the man a generous salary. But he recognized Bernard's work. The jeweler made some pieces that wouldn't beggar an ordinary man's pocket for a year, but that custom-made gauntlet wasn't one of them. What was Reynier trying to prove?
"What are your plans for Windsol?"
Damon asked. "I'm going to Darrow to spend some time with my family," Reynier replied, his smile looking sicker than before.
"Why?"
Damon wondered. "They usually prefer that you keep your distance. Hadn't Reynier made a family visit a few weeks ago? Right around the time when something began to go wrong with the healing of his leg?"
"Unless there's something you need from me,"
Reynier added.
"No, I don't."
A thought occurred to him, and he didn't think he'd get an honest answer without inflicting some pain. So he would inflict the pain.
"It's come to my attention that there is a traditional Windsol dance. It would be prudent for me to learn it."
"Don't look to me to teach you," Reynier said. "I'm crippled." At least he didn't have to dig for the bitterness festering inside the other warlord prince.
"And who do you blame for that, Reynier?"
Damon asked too softly, leaning back and steepling his fingers again.
"I don't blame anyone," Reynier snapped. "It happened."
"Yes, it happened, because you did what you were supposed to do, defend and protect."
"Not well enough. 3 children died and Cyril got poisoned. I didn't protect them well enough and I lost..."
He swallowed, obviously fighting not to say more.
"I was a dancer. It's all I've ever been. All I wanted to be. I'll never be that again."
"Are you sure?"
Damon asked.
"Yes, I'm sure."
Damon hesitated, but it had to be said.
"Everything has a price, Prince Reynier. An escort's life is always on the line."
"I know that."
"Do you? You were wounded in battle. It doesn't matter what the battleground looked like, that's the truth of it. You're not the first man who's had to rebuild his life because of battle scars. You won't be the last."
Knowing that he wasn't getting through to the man, Damon unleashed some of his own frustration.
"You could have lost your leg instead of losing some mobility. Hell's fire, Reynier. You could have died in that place."
"Maybe it would have been better if I had,"
Reynier said softly. Damon felt his temper rise from the depth of his black jewel, sweet, cold, and deadly. Reynier wasn't stupid. He knew who would be waiting for him if he got maudlin enough to commit suicide. The boy thought he had troubles now? Wait until Satan got done explaining things to the fool, especially a fool who had helped himself become demon dead sooner than he should have. But it might explain Reynier buying a gift he really couldn't afford. And Lucivar needed to be aware of that possibility.
"What's the state of your finances?"
Damon asked.
Reynier blinked, then color stained his cheeks.
"Frankly, Prince Saadi, that's none of your business."
"I just made it my business. Do you want to find out how fast I can acquire every scrap of private information about you? Or are you going to answer the question?"
Reynier squirmed.
"I'm doing all right. I have some savings."
"Your salary will continue, paid quarterly as usual," Damon said.
"For what?"
Reynier let out a pained laugh.
"There's not much I can do."
"I have some thoughts about that. But right now you can make some effort to heal."
Damon put enough ice in his voice to have Reynier's eyes fill with wariness.
"I'll take care of the rent on your apartment in Amdar, as well as any other necessary expenses, like food."
"I don't need your charity, and I don't want your pity," Reynier snapped. You're not getting either, so shut up. But it was becoming clear that someone was giving Rainier heavy doses of both, and those things could become more crippling than a damaged leg. Damon huffed out a sigh.
You're going to have to come to terms with what you can do physically and what you can't. I can't help you with that, but I can make things easier for a while so that you can concentrate on healing. You're a good warlord prince, Rainier, and a good escort. Too good to lose because you're having trouble finding your balance.
Another pained laugh.
That's a good way of putting it.
After Windsol, you'll be spending a few weeks in Ebon Rhee with Lucivar.
And may the darkness have mercy on you.
So I suggest you visit your family in Darrow and enjoy the festivities.
Am I dismissed? Rainier asked, his voice a shade too polite.
Yes, you're dismissed. Happy Windsol, Rainier.
Rainier pushed himself to his feet, then leaned on the cane.
Happy Windsol, Prince.
Damon suspected that he and Rainier were both wishing each other a lot of things at that moment, and happy wasn't one of them. He waited until he was sure he'd given Rainier enough time to leave the hall. Then he left his study, and didn't have to go far, since Beale was waiting for him.
Lady Carla requests your presence, Beale said.
He'd known when the Queen of Glacia had arrived. It was hard to miss that particular psychic scent, and hard to miss the presence of a gray-jeweled witch in his home.
She's waiting for you in her suite, Beale added.
And Lady Angeline?
The lady has gone to the keep. She intends to be back in time for dinner, but said if she was late, you should start without her.
Not likely, but he didn't need to say it, since it was already understood by the household staff. Damon made his way through the hall's corridors to the section that held the family's suites of rooms. When Janelle was 15, the coven came to spend a summer, reuniting with the special friend they thought had been lost. The coven, and the boyos who also came for that afternoon tea and never quite went home again, had been given suites. Even now, when those ladies were the queens of their own territories, those suites were still theirs, a second home and a place where they still gathered as friends and sisters. Carla's suite looked out over Janelle's courtyard. He knocked on Carla's door and didn't get an answer. His hand hovered over the door's handle, but he tried another approach before reacting as if something was wrong.
Carla,
he called on a psychic thread.
Come on through, she replied. I'm down in the courtyard.
He entered her sitting room and hurried to the glass doors that led out to the balcony. He paused then, reassured when he saw her standing near the drained fountain, her face raised to the sun. Moving more leisurely, he went down the nearest set of stairs and joined her.
Kiss, kiss, Carla said, giving him a wicked smile.
Raising the hand she offered, he kissed her knuckles.
Darling, isn't it a bit cold out here? He asked.
Your blood must be thin if you think this is cold, which you wouldn't notice as much if you put on a coat.
At least he had put a shield on his shoes to keep his feet dry and protect the leather. She linked her arm in his and sighed.
Glacia's winter has too much bite for me a lot of days, so I wanted to take advantage of spending a little time outside in softer weather.
Meaning a little snow on the ground and air that doesn't freeze your lungs?
Damon asked dryly.
Exactly.
He felt her shiver and led her to the stairs.
Enough. Bossy. Protective. Bossy.
He bared his teeth and said,
kiss, kiss,
which made her laugh. He didn't know if it was proof of Beale's uncanny timing or if Carla had made the request earlier, but they entered the sitting room moments before Holt brought a tray of coffee and pastries. You look good, Damon told her as he poured coffee for both of them. And she did, despite her face having thinned and aged a decade more than her years. Whether that aging was due to the task of ruling Glacia, or a result of the poisoning she'd survived 2 years ago, he couldn't tell.
Flattery will not get you the last nutcake, Carla said, taking the cup he offered. I do feel good most of the time. Oh, my legs feel the weather, so there are uncomfortable days. But unlike people whose brains are attached to their penises, I've actually done what I was told to do in order to get better and keep my legs as healthy as they can be.
Shit. So this isn't a social call.
Janelle asked me to come and look at Rainier, provide a second opinion as a healer.
Damon stiffened. Janelle asked for a second opinion?
Tells you something is wrong, doesn't it?
Carla sipped her coffee.
Doesn't matter what jewels she wears, Janelle is the most brilliant healer in the entire realm. If she can't heal something, it can't be healed. I'm testimony to what she can do. I shouldn't have survived that brew of poisons I was given when my Uncle Hobart tried to regain control of Glacia. And having survived, I shouldn't be as healthy as I am.
Do you... Damon swallowed some coffee to wet a suddenly dry throat. Do you sometimes wish she'd let you die? You wouldn't be walking with a cane, wouldn't have weak legs if you'd made the transition to demon dead.
That's your cock talking, Carla said.
It isn't...
He stopped, thought.
Rainier.
Yes, Rainier.
He set his cup down on the table in front of the sofa.
He won't come all the way back, will he?
No. His leg will never be what it was. It will never support him the way it did before that Irian warblade cut through all that muscle and half the bone. If he'd gone down and stayed down, any of us, Gabrielle, me, Janelle, could have healed him and brought him almost all the way back. Maybe so close to all the way back, he could do whatever he wanted to on that leg as long as he gave it some care. But he slapped shields around his leg and kept fighting.
He did what he had to do.
I know, but that leg will never be the same because of it, and he knows that.
Does he?
Yes, he does. He's fighting it, Damon. I don't know what he's doing or why, but I can see the results. Janelle has had to rebuild that bone and muscle so many times, there is almost nothing left to work with. Something is riding him, and riding him hard. But if he doesn't stop damaging that leg, he really will be crippled.
He's not a fool, Damon said.
No,
Carla said quietly.
He's scared. That's worse.
Anything I can do?
She shook her head.
No, there's nothing you can do. And there is nothing I can do that Janelle hasn't done.
Maybe having a leg so damaged there is no possible way to dance is easier for him than a leg that is almost whole, but not whole enough.
Maybe, but I wouldn't have thought Rainier was that much of an ass.
Carla selected a pastry.
Is he still going for this extra training with Lucivar?
He's going, and he's already been told if he doesn't show up on his own, Lucivar will hunt him down and drag him all the way to Ebon Rhee.
Well then, I'm sure things will get sorted out, one way or another.
Since he could imagine how things would get sorted out if Rainier started a pissing contest with Lucivar, he changed the subject.
How is Della? Is she excited about Winsol?
Carla laughed.
She's more excited that I've agreed to let her start learning basic healing.
Damon took a nutcake.
Training doesn't usually start so early, does it? She's still a girl.
A girl who had lost her mother when her entire village had been slaughtered by Irians working for Dorothea and Hecata saw Diablo. a girl who had been rescued by our Syrian cats and spent months with them, living wild, before being adopted by Carla. She's not a natural healer, wasn't born to that caste, but she has good instincts and a keen interest. She wants to specialize in healing kindred. He tried to keep a straight face, and couldn't.
Does she practice her bedside manner on Kay Askavy?
Every chance she gets, which is another reason I'm here today. If you want to know about kindred, you ask Janelle. Of course, Della and Kay Askavy are only together these days when we're at the country house. The house in Sidra is too frustrating for him.
City streets would be hard for a cat that size.
Oh, it isn't the confined space, Carla said, a wicked twinkle in her glacier blue eyes. It's the frustration of having all that prey wandering around and not being allowed to catch and eat any of it.
We're talking about horses, right?
You know better than that. Mother Night. So, Carla said, we have a plate of goodies and a pot of coffee, and I have another hour to visit before I have to be heading back home. Why don't you tell me all the things you don't want the coven to know?
Since he'd rather chew off his own hand than get backed into that particular corner, he took the easy way out. He put the nut cake back on the plate and gave her all the goodies.
Coward, Carla said.
Damn right.
She laughed. Even if you are a cock, you're all right, Sadie. She held out the plate. Here, we'll share. No gossip required.
Why do you need to go back so soon?
Glacia is on the other side of the realm, and that's a long way to come to spend so little time here. You and Janelle haven't had an evening together in quite a while. Putting a touch of persuasion and a hint of seduction in his voice, he purred,
Stay. You can head back early in the morning.
I'll arrange for a driver and coach so you can work or nap on the way home.
Stay.
She blinked at him, then blinked again. Hell's fire, you're good. I could feel my bones starting to melt. He smiled at her and let the spells fade. I had said I might stay over, Carla said, but I didn't want to make it a certainty.
Are you worried about Della being home alone?
Would any of the blood who had supported Carla's uncle and survived the fighting 2 years ago try to hurt the girl? Yes, but not for the reasons you may be thinking. You've got that look in your eyes, Sadie, the I'm ready to bristle an attack, where's the enemy look.
So what's the concern?
He asked too softly. Because she was right. He wouldn't think twice about going to Glacia and eliminating any problems that might be plaguing Carla or a young girl. Prince Hagen, my master of the guard, likes children but has none of his own. So Della has found a surrogate father, and he has found a daughter.
Then what's the problem?
Rules have a way of getting lost when I'm gone for more than a day. It's the most amazing thing. No one can remember why vegetables are supposed to be part of a meal. No one can tell time to figure out when a girl Della's age should go to bed. On the other hand, the man can be so strict about other things, I'd swear he took lessons from Uncle Satan.
So while Auntie Carla is away,
they'll have a good time. She sighed with too much drama. Fine. I'll stay.
And I'll be more than happy to entertain you with gossip. Just not about me.
He took the nut cake. Why did Janelle go to the keep? Carla hesitated before answering. I think she wanted a second opinion.
Witch child.
Satan leaned against the blackwood table in the keep's private library and crossed his arms. He hadn't known what would cause it, but he'd known this day would come. And because he'd known, he tightened the leash on his temper a little more. It was almost windsall. He didn't want a fight to smear the celebrations. But there was going to be a fight. He could read that truth in the way she moved and the look in her eyes.
"Should I start sorting books?"
he asked. She looked at the empty table and smiled as she shook her head. It had been a useful ploy, pretending to sort old books while some member of his extended family eased into talking about whatever the trouble was. Useful until he'd discovered the coven knew it was a ploy and were pretending right along with him. None of the boyos, including his own sons, had figured out the deception, which embarrassed him a little on behalf of his gender. On the other hand, with them it was still a useful tool.
"No, there's no need to sort books," Janelle said.
She hesitated.
"Papa, there's something I want to ask you."
"Subject?"
"Renier."
Not what he'd expected. He relaxed a little.
"He's not healing the way he should."
She grabbed her golden hair and pulled hard enough to make him wince.
"Maybe it's because I can't... because I'm not..."
"No,"
he said softly, a clear enough warning to anyone who knew him. And Janelle, his daughter and queen, knew him. She lowered her hands and looked him in the eyes.
"Maybe if I took back the power..."
"No."
Satan straightened, then lowered his arms so that his fingers rested lightly along the edge of the table.
"That part of your life is done."
"I didn't lose the ebony like everyone thought. Maybe I can..."
"Damn you to the bowels of hell. You will not do this."
He saw the change in her and recognized the instant when it was Witch staring at him through Janelle's sapphire eyes.
"You don't know why things are different, High Lord,"
Witch said in her midnight voice.
"Yes, I do, lady. I went to Arachna. I met the Weaver of Dreams. I saw the tangled web that made dreams into flesh. And I saw that one slender strand of spider silk that changed the dream when she came back to us. There was another dreamer. You."
She stepped back, wary now.
"How long have you known?"
"A while now. Before you and Damon married."
He paused, then added dryly,
"Well, between the secret wedding and the public one, anyway. The point, and I hope you believe I will do what I say, is that my daughter has the life she wanted for herself, and taking back the ebony would ruin that life."
And there was no certainty, none at all, that Janelle still could be a vessel for that much power, that taking back the ebony wouldn't kill her.
"So you need to understand that I will fight my queen into the ground in order to protect my daughter's life. Witch child, you never wanted that kind of power, so the only way you will take it back is by going through me. You'll have to destroy me completely, because I will fight you with everything I am."
Her face turned alarmingly pale.
"You mean that?"
"Yes, I mean that. Everything has a price, lady. That will be the price if you try to reclaim the ebony."
A heartbeat. Another. Then he was no longer facing Witch. It was Janelle studying him with haunted eyes.
"But, Renier,"
she said,
"I'll remind you of a few things you've obviously forgotten."
His voice slipped into that tightly controlled scolding tone that could intimidate any child, even this one.
"When you were 17, you put Lucivar back together, considering the condition he was in when Prothvar brought him to your cottage in Ebon Rhee. He shouldn't have survived at all. But you not only healed the broken bones and internal damage, you rebuilt his wings out of the few healthy scraps that were left."
"I wore the black then, and had a reservoir of 13 jewels to tap,"
Janelle said, her voice full of frustration.
And Lucivar was all or nothing. Systemic healing. He came out of it whole, or he died.
The black isn't ebony, Satan said. You've never used ebony for healing because it was too dark, too powerful. You used the black.
Well, Twilight's Dawn isn't the black, she snapped.
No, but there is a black thread in your jewel. Compared to a true black, you've got a thimble full of power at that level. But it's there.
You also have two black-jeweled warlord princes, and an ebon-gray warlord prince who would have given you whatever power you needed for a healing web.
And if you'd needed that kind of strength to add to a healing brew, Daemon or Lucivar would have given you the blood.
The power was available, witch child. This has nothing to do with the jewels you no longer wear.
Then why isn't Renier healing?
Janelle paced, circled, and began snarling in a way that made Satan wish he could put a shield between them without insulting her.
He was healing. He was.
Could he dance again?
Yes. She paused, thought. Not everything. Not the demanding dances he and I used to do sometimes as a special performance. His leg muscles will never be able to support that kind of demand. But all the social dances, yes. All the kinds of dances he taught.
She looked cold and bitter.
But he's done enough damage to those muscles now that he won't be able to do that.
Then whatever is wrong with Renier has nothing or little to do with the healing itself,
Satan said quietly.
I don't think it's his leg that needs to heal so much as his heart.
He opened his arms. She stepped into the embrace and held on.
Would you like some advice?
He asked. She nodded.
Let Lucivar deal with Renier.
She raised her head and narrowed her eyes. Why?
Because I think Lucivar will be able to figure out the right motivation to help Renier heal.
Lucivar will scare the shit out of him.
Precisely.
She laughed and rested her head on his shoulder. He savored the embrace. Since the day he'd met her, a 7-year-old girl who had walked through hell without fear, he'd had to share her with so many others. Quiet moments when it was just the two of them had been rare, and he cherished every one.
Papa?
Which child?
I won't destroy the life your daughter dreamed of having.
His breath caught.
Is that a promise?
Would you see a promise like that as a gift?
Yes, I would.
She looked at him and smiled.
Then it's a promise.
Chapter 5 Surreal looked at the fat, fluffy, lazy flakes of snow, then at the fire in the sitting room's hearth, and decided the fire had more appeal, especially after she coughed and felt the burn in her lungs. All right, she should have mentioned the burning sensation and continued shortness of breath weeks ago when Janelle was first healing the poisoned wound in her side. But she'd thought she'd shaken off the effects of the backlash spell that had trapped her and Renier in that damn spooky house, and that the shortness of breath was because of the poison.
You can take care of this now, or you can flirt with pneumonia all winter,
Janelle had told her. She didn't want to flirt with anything at the moment, and since the cure was drinking a healing brew 3 times a day, limiting her time outdoors when the air was bitter cold, and stopping physical activity before she became fatigued, she wasn't about to argue. Especially since she planned to have Janelle put those instructions in writing, so she could wave them in front of Lucivar when she went to Ebon Rhee after Windsoul. She couldn't get out of everything he had planned for her, but even Yaslana wouldn't challenge Janelle as healer. Maybe she could take up knitting or something. She tried to picture herself sitting on the sidelines, making a badly knit blanket while everyone else was doing something interesting. Maybe not. A quick knock on the sitting room door announced Helton, the butler at the Saw Diablo townhouse. Entering with a full tray, he said,
"I've brought the hot water for your healing brew, and a piece of berry pie still warm from the oven."
There was also a sandwich and a small plate of cheese and grapes. After all, it had been at least 2 hours since she'd eaten the broth he'd insisted she have to warm her up when she returned from shopping that morning.
Everything has a price, Cyril thought.
And the price for not being completely well was having her butler fussing over her more than his duties would normally allow. She settled on the sofa and called in a small hourglass timer and the glass jar that held the healing mixture. After filling a tea ball with the mixture, she put the ball in the pot of hot water and turned the timer. Helton started to leave, then stopped, his head turned in a way that indicated he was talking to someone on a psychic thread.
"Prince Rainier is here," he said.
"Send him in."
She glanced at the tray. Helton studied the tray, too.
"I should bring in another serving."
"Just another piece of berry pie."
Cyril bared her teeth in a smile that had Helton shifting a little closer to the door.
"I'll share the rest, but not the pie."
A twitch of his lips, a twinkle in his eyes.
"Very well, lady."
"Are you all right?"
Rainier asked sharply, as soon as Helton ushered him into the sitting room and closed the door.
"Better than you are, boyo,"
Cyril thought as she watched Rainier limp to the chair nearest the sofa.
"I'm all right.
The footman said he had to check and see if you were feeling up to seeing visitors today."
Rainier winced as he got himself settled.
"Should I ask Helton to bring in some coffee for you?"
Cyril asked.
"Or there's brandy if you prefer."
"What are you drinking?"
"Healing brew."
She watched the timer.
"Almost done."
"Then you're not all right," Rainier snapped. She removed the tea ball and put it in the little bowl on the tray. She poured a cup of the brew and sat back, and wondered how much of the anger suddenly filling the room was on her behalf.
"Turns out my lungs are more vulnerable to cold weather because of that backlash spell. Or the backlash spell made them more vulnerable to the poison, which has made them more vulnerable to cold weather."
She shrugged.
"So after Janelle got done snarling at me for not mentioning that my lungs still burned, she made up this brew, which I'm drinking 3 times a day for a few more days. Then it's once a day for the rest of this winter."
"You also fatigue easily, don't you?"
Rainier said. That's why there was a question about whether you wanted visitors. It was tempting to make light of all of this. After all, she was healing. But he had been in that house with her, and he deserved better than a light answer.
"Yes, I still fatigue easily. And it's humiliating to admit, but I'll need to take a nap this afternoon because I was out most of the morning shopping."
"Does Lucivar know about this?"
Rainier asked. She grinned.
"Not yet. But I'm going to make sure he does. In fact, I'm going to make sure everyone in the family knows I fatigue easily."
"Why?"
He thought for a moment, then huffed out a laugh.
"Well, I guess he'll back down a little bit if he knows he'll get his ass chewed by Janelle every time you start wheezing."
"I hope that will be enough incentive, but you can count on it with Lucivar."
She wasn't looking forward to spending the winter months in Ebonry, for a lot of reasons. She drank her brew, and they sat in companionable silence for a few minutes. When she caught Rainier eyeing the piece of berry pie, she snarled,
"Mine."
"Greedy," he muttered.
"I'll share the sandwich, grapes and cheese."
His expression told her plain enough he didn't consider that a fair exchange, but he perked up when Helton returned with another tray that was a duplicate of her own tray of nibbles. Draining her cup and setting it aside, Cyril studied the tray and sighed. I guess I'll eat myself into a stupor and let Helton roll me up to my room.
When you're drinking healing brews, your body burns even more fuel, Rainier said. You actually do need that food.
She looked at him, her unspoken question filling the room. He held her eyes for a moment, trying to bluff. Then he looked away, snatched his plate off the tray, and began to eat.
Leave it alone, Cyril, he said after the silence became strained. As a favor to a friend, leave it alone.
For now. But she was going to have a chat with Janelle and find out how bad things really were with Rainier.
So, you were just out wandering today? Cyril asked.
Actually, I stopped by to bring you this.
Rainier called in a wrapped package and handed it to her. She narrowed her eyes at him.
You finished your shopping?
Yes.
And you've got all the damn presents wrapped? Hell's fire. If I don't have more luck finding things to buy, and how do you buy things for a family like mine, I may be wrapping the presents moments before I hand them out.
His smile was brittle.
I'm usually run off my feet just before Winsol and don't have time to shop.
There's a traditional court dance that's only performed during Winsol. There's always a group of people who want to brush up on the steps. And there are the young men each year who figure out that males who know that dance get a lot more attention at the parties, and they want lessons.
You'll teach them again next year.
The brittle smile turned bitter, and he said nothing.
So you're delivering packages early because...
I'm going to spend Winsol with my family.
Why?
A pained laugh.
Because they felt obliged to ask me, and this year I didn't have the excuse of being too busy to come until the last days of Winsol.
You can still be too busy. I'll get some paper. We'll make a list.
Cyril...
I don't know how to fix this,
Cyril thought, hurting for him.
Does anyone know how to fix this pain that's killing the heart of who and what he is?
Well, Rainier said, getting to his feet, I'd best be on my way. I have some things to do before I head to Darrow.
She met him at the sitting room door and hugged him.
Happy Winsol, Cyril,
he said, his voice husky.
Happy Winsol, Rainier,
she replied, wishing she could say something more.
Chapter 6 The day before Winsol began, Damon walked into a sitting room in the family wing of the hall and stopped abruptly.
Mother Night, he said. Where did you find such a magnificent and perfect evergreen tree?
Janelle grinned at him.
It did turn out well, didn't it?
It dazzled his eyes and tugged at his heart. Little balls of color shone among the branches, which looked like they'd been given a light dusting of gold on the tips of the evergreen needles. Crystal icicles hung from the branches. And the smell... Damon frowned and walked toward the tree, baffled. The evergreen scent should be filling the room. He touched a branch. His fingers went right through it.
If it fooled you, it will fool anyone,
Janelle said.
It's an illusion?
He tried to touch another branch, unwilling to believe.
Yes, I made it. Marion and I decided to limit the number of trees that the family would cut down for Winsol.
Lucifer and I didn't get a say in this?
He caught the tip of his tongue between his teeth. He hadn't participated in a typical Winsol celebration here at the hall, so maybe he wasn't supposed to make many, or any, decisions.
We took a couple of trees whose elimination would benefit the surrounding trees, Janelle said. We'll use the branches to create wreaths or other decorations. That will add the scent to the room. She edged toward the door, then stopped, as if listening to something beyond the room. Oh, good. Marion is here. Which meant Lucivar was also here.
Prick, he called on a psychic spear thread.
Let me stash the little beast and I'll meet you,
Lucivar replied.
All right, Damon said to Janelle. Since Marion is here, I'll...
Stay here, Janelle said, heading for the door. I need to pee, and someone needs to guard the gifts until they're all properly shielded.
Damon looked at the gifts stacked around the tree.
Huh?
I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't leave the room. When I get back, Marion and I will sort the gifts and put on the appropriate shields.
What are you figuring is going to happen to them?
She just looked at him.
Fine, he said, trying not to grumble. I'll guard the gifts.
She was almost out the door when she stopped and looked at him over her shoulder. Papa arrived a little while ago, but I haven't seen him yet.
Then she was gone, and he felt as if he'd been shuffled to a back room and given a senseless task just to keep him out of the way.
Hell's fire. His father and brother were in the hall. He should be spending time with them instead of guarding boxes.
Or he should be in his study, working. He still had some work to do. Not much, but some. And even if he didn't have work and just stretched out on the couch and read a book, he wouldn't feel like a stray puppy that someone had forgotten. Not if he was in his study. A quick knock on the door. Before he could say anything, a maid and two footmen entered the room, their arms full of boxes.
Excuse us, Prince, the maid said. We were told to bring these gifts here.
Damon smiled at them and stepped aside.
Are you going home for Windsall? He asked.
We're drawing lots tonight to see who's working which days, the younger footman said. They stacked the packages in front of the tree. Moments after they walked out the door, Lucivar walked in.
Hiding already?
Lucivar asked.
Windsall hasn't officially started.
I'm guarding the gifts, Damon replied.
From what? You didn't put any food under there, did you? You never put food gifts under the tree. I did that one year, and the younger kindred found the boxes of fudge and the boxes of rawhide strips. What a mess.
If there's food under the tree, I didn't put it there.
Good. There's something I want to show you. I had it made for Damonar and...
A quick knock on the door, and another maid entered the room.
I was told to put these packages under the tree, she said.
They're going to be in and out of here for the rest of the day,
Lucivar muttered as soon as the maid left.
Let's find another room. We need a couple of minutes in private.
I'm supposed to guard the gifts, Damon said.
Tch! The little beast is in the playroom, enthralled by jingling puppies, so the room will be fine. We won't go far. Besides, he doesn't know which room has the presents.
Since Damon thought guarding the gifts was a pointless exercise anyway, it didn't take much persuasion. He and Lucivar hurried along the corridor, sneaked around the corner, and slipped into another sitting room.
Do we ever use this room?
Damon asked, looking around.
Male sanctuary, Lucivar replied. Used to use it when the coven lived here most of the time. Gave the boyos breathing room to talk among themselves while still being close by if they were needed.
He waved a hand, dismissing further interest in the room.
Look at this.
He called in a rectangular wood and glass box. Damon obediently leaned over to look into the box.
It's a bug in a box,
Lucivar said, grinning. From one end of the box, a little black beetle emerged. As it made its way to the other end, it grew and grew and grew until... pop! There were sounds. Damon wasn't sure a beetle actually made sounds that were a cross between insect noise and cranky grumbling, but it added to the appeal. Or the disgust. He had a strong suspicion the emotion of the person viewing this little toy would depend on whether that person had a penis or breasts.
"You have that box shielded, don't you?" he asked.
Lucifer made a huffy sound of disbelief.
"I've got it triple shielded. There's no way Daemonar is getting that bug out of the box."
"If he does..."
Damon looked at his brother. Lucifer sighed.
"The only question will be whether Marion tries to kill me before she divorces me, or after."
"As long as you know the risks."
He grinned. Couldn't help it. "Daemonar will love it."
"Yeah, he will."
Picturing Daemonar's face when the boy opened that gift reminded him of where he was supposed to be.
"I'd better get back to guarding the gifts."
Lucifer vanished the box.
"I'll go with you. If I look like I've got something to do, maybe I won't get cornered into doing something."
They hurried back to the other room, opened the door, and froze just inside the doorway.
"Hell's fire, Mother Night, and may the darkness be merciful." "He wasn't anywhere near this room when we left,"
Lucifer said.
"I swear by all I hold dear, he wasn't anywhere near this room."
Well, the little beast was in the middle of it now, sitting on the floor, surrounded by various sized boxes and drifts of torn wrapping paper.
"Papa!" Daemonar cried. "Uncle Damon, listen!"
Bang, bang, bang.
The sound of box on floor, and the sound of something delicate, and no doubt expensive, breaking inside the box. Damon felt his face muscles shift into a tight smile. Or maybe it was a grimace. Must have been the appropriate response, because Daemonar grinned at him and went back to banging the box on the floor.
"Whatever is inside is already broken,"
Lucifer said.
"No point taking it away from him now. He'll just grab for something else."
"We'll have to figure out who brought it and get it replaced." "Sweet darkness, please don't let it be something that was commissioned and was one of a kind."
Lucifer stared at the boy and the mess, looking more and more baffled.
"Marion wants another one of those."
"Another one of what?" Lucifer lifted his chin.
"Those."
Damon looked at the little winged boy who was the reason Janelle was going to rip him into chunks and feed him to somebody, then back at his brother.
"Why?"
Lucifer sighed.
"I don't know."
Then he narrowed his eyes.
"But I'm pretty sure it's your fault."
He completely lost the ability to speak. He just stood there with his mouth hanging open, staring at Lucifer. Lucifer nodded.
"Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's your fault."
"But..." The sputtering sounds fired up his shocked brain. "Since I'm not the one sleeping with your wife, it is not my fault." Lucifer was looking grimly pleased.
"Yeah, it is. Marion's been mentioning lately how much I value having a brother the same age."
Damon usually valued having a brother too. But that was beside the point.
"You can't do this,"
Damon said.
"It's not that hard,"
Lucifer replied.
"Just don't drink the contraceptive brew during a woman's fertile time, and it isn't hard at all."
His voice changed when he added,
"Besides, it might not be another little beast. It could be a cuddly little witchling, a miniature of her mother."
There was a dopey look on Lucifer's face.
"Oh, no," Damon groaned. "No, no, no.
You're being seduced by the possibility of a daughter.
Maybe.
Then let me remind you that our father had 4 children, and all of them had cocks. 5, actually, if they counted the boy who had been murdered shortly after birth. Lucivar slanted a look at him.
So you're saying I shouldn't count on getting a cuddly little witch?
I'm saying the odds aren't in your favor, so before you pour your contraceptive brew down the sink, consider what it will be like having 2 of those in the house. Lucivar winced and muttered,
One of them would probably end up living with you half the time.
It was a distinct possibility, and it was exactly what he was afraid of. Not that he didn't love Daemonar. He did. But most days, he loved him much better, knowing he could send the boy home. Suddenly, Lucivar tensed.
How long are you supposed to guard this room?
Daemon felt all the blood drain out of his head.
Mother Night. Chanel is going to be back any minute now.
They sprang forward at the same moment Daemonar gave the box 1 last bang on the floor before throwing it and reaching for another.
You get the boy away from here, and I'll do what I can to clear up or hide this mess, Daemon said.
Lucivar grabbed Daemonar and swung him around as they twirled toward the door, distracting the boy from the fact he was being taken away from the presence. Once brother and boy were safely out of the way, Daemon dropped to his knees and began gathering up boxes and wrappings. He could vanish everything and sort it out later, if he could figure out an excuse Chanel would accept for why the packages had disappeared. Of course, these boxes had arrived after she'd left the room, so maybe she didn't know about them. That would be good. That would be wonderful. That would... The door opened, and he froze. When there was no outraged shriek, he dared a look over his shoulder. Satan stood in the doorway, clearly amused. The bastard. Daemon said,
If you love me at all, don't ask how this happened. Just help me fix it.
Satan walked toward Daemon, the door closing silently behind him.
I know how it happened. As a reward, and to give you a break from the festive chaos going on in the rest of the hall, your wife asked you to guard the gifts, and you, not having brains enough to get comfortable with a brandy and a book, decided guarding gifts was foolish, so you left for just a few minutes. And when you returned, you learned how much of a mess can be made in a short amount of time.
Daemon closed his eyes and hunched his shoulders. Right now, he would gladly give up the privileges of being an adult if he could shove the responsibilities of being an adult under the sofa, along with all the torn wrapping paper.
How did you know? Daemon asked. I used to have one.
Satan replied. Puzzled, he looked up at his father.
One what? Small Irian boy. I learned this lesson the hard way. And now, my darling, so have you.
You could have warned me.
You wouldn't have believed me.
So what? You still could have warned me. Since that wouldn't get him any help, he swallowed the comment and tried to look woeful. It wasn't hard to do.
Help?
Using craft, Satan moved a straight-backed chair from one side of the room, placed it close to Daemon, and sat down.
I'll show you a trick. As long as you don't use it too often, you can get away with it, especially during this season, when males are forgiven their foibles. Mostly.
The first problem is figuring out who these gifts were intended for, Daemon said.
That part is easy. I brought these, so I know which box belongs to which person. But...
On the second try, he formed actual words.
You brought these?
Then why in the name of hell didn't you put shields around them? A raised eyebrow was his only answer, and an unspoken reminder that Satan could leave the room without incurring a woman's wrath. Sufficiently chastised, Damon muttered, "Sorry." Figuring it was best to confess the worst, he nudged the box Damonar had pounded on the floor and winced at the merry tinkle of broken glass. No response, just the feel of his father's formidable presence.
"Lesson one," Satan said, sounding too damned amused. "If you shield all the gifts, you also need to shield and craft lock the room sufficiently to keep small boys out. Otherwise, that boy will transform from a happy, excited child into a cranky, frustrated child. And trust me, a frustrated Eerian boy during Winsol is twice as bad as what you're imagining right now, especially when his little brain is dazzled by boxes and shiny ribbons."
"Then Lucifer and I can just... what? Put ebon gray and black shields and locks around the room? That would keep Damonar out, but it would also keep everyone else out of the room, including wives who wouldn't appreciate being locked out." "All right," Damon said, trying not to sigh. "Guard the room when it's my turn. Don't shield all the gifts." He nudged the broken gift. "If you tell me where you got this, I'll get it replaced in time." "I hope."
"That? Well, you can dispose of it. It's just a box of chipped teacups and broken figurines. Helene and Mrs. Beale keep a box of that stuff for just this kind of present."
A red haze appeared in front of Damon's eyes. "What kind of present?"
"The kind that rattles enough to sound interesting, especially once things inside the box start breaking."
"You did this deliberately?"
"Yes."
He was trying very hard to remember why he had looked forward to Winsol this year, and why he'd been happy to see his father a few minutes ago.
"Lesson two," Satan said. "Fragile or delicate gifts go in the back, where they're less likely to be noticed by inquisitive children. Even so, they are shielded individually, and then are grouped together before a shield netting is put over all of them, and that netting is then connected to the floor with craft. However, there should be one breakable, disposable gift positioned in the front of the tree to catch a boy's eye. That way, you have a chance of stopping him while he's distracted by the fake present, and you're not trying to explain the loss of an expensive gift."
Damon looked at the mounds of gifts. All this work to keep out one boy? What would happen if...
"Marion wants another baby," he said.
A stiff moment of silence. Then Satan said,
"In that case, my darling, you'd better learn some of these spells and work on them until you can pull them together in a heartbeat."
Or they could just all celebrate Winsol at the Airy, and then it would be Lucivar's responsibility to guard the gifts. He considered the probability of getting out of guard duty no matter where the family gathered for Winsol, and sighed.
"Lesson three."
Satan called in a small hourglass, turned it over, and set it on air.
"Stay focused on the task. When I saw Lucifer racing away with Damonar, I asked Janelle and Marion to have a leisurely cup of coffee before returning to this room."
"Aren't they going to suspect there's a problem, and that you were stalling them until it's fixed?" Damon asked.
"Of course they know there's a problem, but this request is as time-honored as protocol, and is strictly observed. All things considered, since those two do understand the males involved, I estimate you have 10 minutes left to put everything back the way it was."
Maybe he could tie a ribbon around his neck and curl up with the other fragile, delicate gifts.
"Gather up the pieces of wrapping paper that have the ribbons and name cards," Satan said.
He crawled around until he was fairly sure
he'd gotten them all. Then he picked up the first box.
"That one is yours," Satan said.
"Mine?"
Warm pleasure flowed through him. A present from his father. As he